Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear his name, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I pass a Baptist church every morning when I'm taking Heather to school, and they always have an inspiring message on their sign, and it just uplifts my spirit for the day and gets me going. Well, one Monday morning this summer, I was taking Heather to Driver's Ed, and that's what was on the sign. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, I said, yeah, and I kept going. Well, Tuesday morning, I read it again. Wednesday morning, I read it again. And I began thinking if there was a deeper meaning and how quickly I had answered on Monday. By Friday, I was really questioning what I was supposed to gain from such a question. I wasn't questioning whether I was a Christian, but based on our judicial system, made up of jury of our peers that know nothing about me, do I exhibit qualities outside of my family, outside of my church family? Do I exhibit the qualities that show that I'm a Christian? How do total strangers see me? Do I behave in a Christ-like manner everywhere I go, in everything I do? How do I present myself outside of a safety zone? When I'm away from comfortable surroundings, it's easy to share your faith with your friends, but how about a stranger? Acts 11:26 tells us that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. From the Student Bible Dictionary, we get the definition of a Christian. It is a follower of Jesus Christ, one who belongs to Christ. Christians commit themselves to Christ and become increasingly like him. They trust Jesus Christ to guide their decisions, their actions, and their attitudes. That's a powerful statement. They trust Jesus Christ to guide their decisions, their actions, and their attitudes. If we break down the definition of being a Christian, there were three parts. The first part was one who belongs to Christ. That is the first step, and probably the easiest. Admitting that we are sinners saved by grace, believing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he died for our sins, he was buried, rose again, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ever interceding for us. The second part in the definition says Christians commit themselves to Christ and become increasingly like him. How do we do that? By learning the word, not just reading it, by learning it, living it, and believing it. Even the scripture tells us to know scripture. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Deuteronomy says, he shall read it all the days of his life. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, we are instructed how to live Christ-like. The person that comes to everybody's mind on living and teaching Christian values is Paul. But when Paul was faced with the understanding of Christ, he got it the first time. He turned his life around immediately, and he moved forward. Some people, some of you, probably found it happen that way for you. But it didn't for me. I relate better to Peter. Peter messed up all the time. Even though he traveled with Jesus and he was taught by Jesus, he still didn't get it right away. He had to grow into his faith. It was a process, but he never quit trying and he never lost sight of the goal. And that's why I chose the scripture readings for today that Dawn read. In Matthew, we all know the story of how Jesus told Peter he would betray him. But that's not what I want you to look at today. In verse 73, it says, "Those who stood by said to Peter, 'Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" One version, the one Dawn read, says it's your accent that betrays you. What I find interesting is that he was not accused because he was seen with Jesus, or that they had seen him traveling with him, or praying with him, or meeting with him. It was because of what they heard. I realized they were referring to the way he talked, not the things he said, but we can still apply that to us today. In our judicial system, we have circumstantial and physical evidence. Circumstantial evidence is evidence that furnishes reasonable ground for inferring the existence of a fact. Reasonable ground, not actual fact. That would be seeing our cars outside or seeing us come in and out of the building and looking busy. But if we're not producing any fruit, then there is no physical evidence. The definition said Christians commit themselves. Just like with Peter, what we say is what people will remember. In Philippians 2:11, it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in Romans 10:17, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are people hearing? Am I committed to sharing the word of God? Then the definition went on to say, to become increasingly like him. In the verses from 1 Peter, he tells us how to become more Christ-like. Serious and watchful in prayers, to show deep love for one another, to be hospitable, not grumbling, to use our gifts to serve others, and to glorify God in all that we do. The third part of the definition says to trust Jesus to guide our decisions, our actions, and our attitudes. This is probably the most challenging part of the definition, our daily behavior. You know how when you read something, it just sticks with you, and it makes you think about it and ponder it? Well, that saying, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? As the days of the week went by, and up to this point, God has given me several opportunities to judge my own life. In the purpose-driven life, we learned that everything happens for a reason and at the right time. It seems that over the last year, he has been preparing me for this very question. There has been a chain reaction of events in my life just in the last month that have caused me to open my eyes clearer to see if I'm allowing Jesus to guide my decisions, my actions, and my attitudes. I would like to share a couple of them with you. First, I started reading the book, The Prayer of Jabez, by Bruce Wilkinson. I've read it before, and I read it periodically. It's based on 1 Chronicles 4:10. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. The book breaks down every section of the verse and explains it. One day sitting at the drive-thru at the bank, I read the section on expanding my territory. I left the bank and pulled up at the gas station. And while I was pumping gas, a woman walked over to me and begins to tell me her story. I never felt nervous or threatened. I just stood there and listened to her story. And she tells me she's a believer. It didn't really stand out when she said it. She just included it in her story, and she kept talking after she said it. So I gave her what she asked for, and I was feeling pretty good about myself, that God had just given me an opportunity to expand my territory. So I finished pumping my gas, and I left. I didn't get two blocks down the road before a light came on. The words flooding back through my mind enlarged my territory. What I had done to glorify God? How did I share God's love with this woman? I didn't. I missed the opportunity. I gave her what she wanted, but I did not give her what she needed. I didn't pray with her. She even said she was a believer, and I missed it. I didn't pray for her then, but while I was driving, I did pray for her, and I asked for forgiveness for asking God to enlarge my territory, and when he did, I didn't do anything with it. Well, it was about 2 days later when I messed up again. I was leaving work to go pick up Heather from school. And naturally, I was leaving at the last minute, so I only had time to go straight there. And there was an older woman and a young man walking down the road. And she called out to me and asked me if she could get a ride. She had explained to me how far she had walked and where she still had to go and how very tired she was. I looked at my watch, and I told her I was sorry, but I really had to go. I didn't get 2 miles down the road before the Holy Spirit was convicting me. I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I could hear it just as plain over and over. If I had said no because I was scared of my safety, I don't think the Holy Spirit would have laid anything on my heart like he did. But I said it because I was in a hurry. So I prayed, "Don't give up on me, Lord. I'll get it right one day." Everything is not cut and dry. I have learned that for as much as I get wrong and miss opportunities to be a light, I keep trying, and God still loves me, and he never showed me that more than right before Karen, my friend, died. As I look back, I can see his hand at work. I can see how he was preparing me, how he allowed me to draw strength from him, how he put her in my life to witness to me with a faith that never faltered. I hadn't seen her in a week, and on Tuesday, I had a feeling of urgency to go see her. So I made arrangements, and I went that afternoon. On the way over there, a verse from the Psalms came to mind. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. I asked the Lord, "Why are you giving me this?" I visited with Karen, and we talked, and it was just Karen. Nothing unusual. She asked how I was. But when I left, the verse came back. The next morning, she went into a coma, and she died the following day. She was the second closest person to me to die. The first was my dad. I wasn't close enough to the Lord then to even recognize that he was carrying me. But this time, there was no doubt. Scripture talks about peace that surpasses all understanding. The scriptures flooded my thoughts for days. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place." And Paul said, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." I would never want anything but the best for my friend. And now she has it. As much as I will miss her, she has the best. And there is comfort in knowing that. That comfort can only be found in trusting our Lord and knowing his word. John starts his gospel with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That Word is Jesus. As much as I've studied to try to live better and to prepare myself to help others, I never realized how much comfort it would give me. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Listen to this again. Scripture gives us teaching, rebuking, correction, and training. Christianity is a lifestyle, not an event. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's the difference between what's urgent and what's important. The third part, our decisions, our actions, and our attitudes, our daily behavior either expresses our belief or it denies them. Sometimes we're not asked directly like Peter was. Sometimes we're just observed. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Let us bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for a hand upon our shoulders, for the strength that you give us, for the comfort that you provide. May you be with each of us this day and guide us in our steps. Amen.